to the third case of the day, the Nestle Holdings versus Central States. Cassiari.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Mark Cassiari, and along with my co-counsel, John Vandewall, I represent the appellant, Nestle, in this case. This case presents an issue of law of first impression for the court under ERISA. The standard review by this court, therefore, is de novo. The specific ERISA sections at issue are in Title IV of the statute. And Title IV allows a multi-employer pension plan, such as the Central States Pension Fund, the appellee in this case, to assess a withdrawal liability against an employer who participates in the fund but withdraws. There are two circumstances for withdrawal liability, complete and partial. Complete is not at issue. Nestle, to this day, continues to contribute to the Central States Pension Fund. So what is at issue is, what is a partial withdrawal? There are four types of partial withdrawal, and only one of those is at issue. The matter concerns what is meant by the words in Section 4205 of ERISA, Title IV, quote, transfers to another location, end quote. Nestle and the fund agree that if Nestle did not transfer such work to another location, there is no partial withdrawal. The assessment by the fund was improper, and the fund should return to Nestle the $1.2 million assessment it has paid with statutory penalties.
It has to be a physical relocation transfer?
Well, it has to be a
another location. When you say another location, is that another place or another person?
No, it's another person, and the parties agree that it means other Nestle employees. It does not mean third parties or owner-operator independent contractors. Another location means other Nestle employees. The parties also agree that the word such work, in this case, refers to truck driving. The fund argues that we're then left with the word transfers. The fund argues that that word means continues. Nestle argues that it doesn't mean that. The arbitrator below, who was the statutorily mandated arbitrator, agreed with the fund, as did the district court. But both the arbitrator and the district court correctly found that the meaning of the word transfers is one of first impression for this court and is a matter for which the review is de novo. Now, the basic facts are important. They can be very briefly summarized. Nestle, as the court knows, produces food products. It transports those products by truck through a dispatch system that is called the network. The network is composed of drivers of various categories. The categories include common carriers, third-party drivers from different companies. They comprise the vast majority of the network. It also includes owner-operators, independent contractors, and about 200 of the network drivers, a very small percentage, are Nestle employee drivers. We're concerned here today with seven of those drivers, just seven, who participated in the Central States Fund. And the question is for the court whether the work of the seven transferred to the other Nestle employee drivers who did not participate in the fund. Okay, that is the question before the court.
They make a big issue, I think, of percentage. There was a lot of this business was commingled. Sort of a random selection of people's availability, time on the road, et cetera. And they, based on some sort of historic thing, there was something like, 8.5% or something of the trips went to the fund covered drivers. And they think, I guess, that they should get that same percentage, even though it is a reduced number of trips.
Well, there's no basis in the statute for that sort of analysis. Your Honor is correct that the work, the truck driving, was not assigned to any particular driver. It was simply on the basis of need and the number of hours that the driver had under DOT regulations to drive. So nobody owned a particular route. The statute defines work by referring to the collective bargaining agreement. That's what's in Section 4205. It defines work by the collective bargaining agreement. The collective bargaining agreement never defined work in terms of any percentage. The Central States Fund drivers did not own a certain percentage of the routes. The collective bargaining agreement defined work in terms of truck driving, and truck driving only. The routes that they happened to drive were dependent upon the network dispatch system. So the argument about the percentage is simply a specious argument that has no basis in the statute or the collective bargaining agreement. What Nestle did prior to 1995 was operate the Central States drivers out of two terminals. In 1995, it shut down the terminals for the Central States drivers due to business reasons, including a loss of contract. It did not hire any drivers to replace those Central States drivers. And the work then was dispatched out of the network like it was done before.
But there was a reduced value, apparently.
Well, there was a lost contract, and that's what precipitated the closing of the Oconomowoc, Wisconsin terminal. Now, there are two key facts I'd like to stress to the court that are obviously set forth in our brief that are critical, and these are undisputed. First, it is true that the non-fund employee drivers of Nestle continued to drive trucks. Okay. They continued to do the same work they did before the shutdown of the two facilities at issue. And second, the non-fund employee drivers continued to drive trucks in the lanes that they shared prior to the shutdown with the Central States drivers, as well as common carriers and owner-operators. So this means that the truck driving work of the seven did not go to the non-fund Nestle drivers, because it is also undisputed that the amount of work that they did in those shared lanes went down. It decreased.
Yeah, but doesn't that theory require the assumption that the loads that the non-union drivers were driving were necessarily not loads that the union drivers would have driven had they still been driving? You've got to identify the loads in some way or other.
Well, you need to identify the work, not the loads. And again,
if you're carrying a load across the, you're moving it from one place to another, that's the work, I think.
Yeah. Well, the collective bargaining agreement didn't define work in terms of loads. They didn't define it in terms of historical percentages. They didn't define it in terms of lanes.
You can't specify it. That's my point.
Well, you could, Your Honor. You could devise a system where Central States drivers did exclusively work in a certain lane, and we might have a different case at that point. But the fact that you can't identify further supports the position of Nestle. How can you say, then, that there was a transfer when it is impossible to identify the work as belonging to the work as defined by you in your question as belonging to the Central States drivers? The work we're talking about is truck driving. The truck driving work that the Central States drivers did before the shutdown was shared with non-Central States drivers as well as common carriers and owner-operators. And after the shutdown, the non-Central States employee drivers did less of the work in those lanes, and they did that work.
Yeah, but how
before.
Do you know what work they were doing? That's the point.
Well, I know they were driving trucks, and they did less of it.
I mean, how do you know that the work they were doing is work that the non-union drivers would have been doing before the shutdown? I think that's the point.
Yeah, the only, again, Your Honor, the collective bargaining agreement says that kind of minutia, that kind of identification is not relevant because the parties to the agreement.
Well, I know, but your analysis requires identification, it seems to me.
No, I think the analysis requires an identification in order to conclude that there's a transfer. Absent the identification, one can't say that there was a transfer, especially where the work of the non-fund drivers decreased.
Well, how many? You said there are seven drivers at issue here. These are the fund drivers, we'll call them. How many drivers before the loss of the contract, how many drivers were there all told, including fund drivers? Do you know?
Yes, approximately 200.
200.
So Nestle employee drivers.
Yeah, but so afterward, how many drivers were there just doing this reduced load?
200 minus a small number, seven. There were others.
Well, obviously minus those seven. But
right.
There must have been others who didn't drive as well.
There were non-union terminals that were also shut down, but it was relatively insignificant, maybe twice 714. That's my approximation, Your Honor.
Well, I guess the reason I focus on that is that there is, with this commingling, it seems that it's really quite a small group. I wondered, your brief used the word excess at one point, as if the reason they were even union drivers driving is because there was sort of a heavy load of work. And maybe I misread that.
Yeah, I think that was not intended.
Okay.
They were part of
the ask mix. Is because if suppose the work, let's just say everything had remained pretty much the same, but the workload had reduced, and so that you only needed 180 drivers, would it be the natural thing to the union drivers go first, or how would you work that?
Well, depending on what made sense from a business efficiency standpoint.
Well, maybe I don't know, one costs more than the other, I don't know the answer.
Well, what happened in this case, the testimony, is that one of the contracts that Nestle had went away. It was a Silgan contract, and Silgan was located in Wisconsin. That went away, so that made the Wisconsin terminal less necessary. The other thing was that the tractors that these particular seven drivers were using were old and needed to be replaced, so it made sense to shut down the terminal and sell the tractors instead of replacing them. But what's clear is that given the small number of these Central States drivers, it is much more likely that, and the general manager, Steve Michaels, testified to this at the hearing on cross-examination without contradiction, that the work, if the work went anywhere, it went to these common carriers and owner-operators, and the fund agrees that if that happened, there's no partial withdrawal.
Is that right? So it has to be Nestle-owned trucks they would drive, and that's it.
It has to be Nestle.
I say Nestle-owned trucks. I assume that's what they were driving, and you just said that they were, old, and so the logical ones to shut down.
So the particular ones at issue, yes.
Yeah.
In order for a partial to occur, it has to go to Nestle trucks driven by Nestle employees, and
obviously a lot of them still drove.
They still drove, and they drove in the same lanes they drove in before the shutdown with the seven, but they drove less.
Well, it gets back to this percentage thing, and that seems to be, you say that just can't be a basis for a transfer, and I get the impression that they're saying it is. So hopefully.
Well, the collective bargaining agreement doesn't define the work in percentage terms. It doesn't define any, you don't own.
That's what all these graphs seem to show, each of you present.
Well, the graphs show that the work went down after the terminal for the Nestle employee drivers. But the bargaining agreements don't define work in terms of percentage. The parties didn't. The statute refers to the collective bargaining agreements. Nobody owned a particular lane in this case. And when you read the statute, when they use the term work, the only meaning you can give to that term is work in the aggregate. And that's how the parties defined work. It was work in the aggregate. And the work for the critical people at issue here went down after the closure, which is inconsistent, completely inconsistent with a transfer. Now, to make that point even clearer to the court, the arbitrator and the district court felt compelled in their analysis, admitting that the word transfer was one of first impression for interpretation, they felt compelled to equate that word with continues in order to justify the holding.
Your argument there. Can you explain it?
Well, the district court and the arbitrator said, listen, the Nestle non-fund employee drivers continued to drive in the lanes, in the routes, after the shutdown that the fund drivers drove in before the shutdown, which is true. And then the legal error is, therefore, the work transferred. It's the therefore the work transferred that is the error of the court. Now, when Congress meant to use the word continue, which is the word that the arbitrator and the district court relied on for their reasoning, it did so in Section 4205. In a different part of that statute, talking about a different partial withdrawal liability, the statute says, if work continues in the jurisdiction, then there's a partial withdrawal. That part doesn't apply here for jurisdictional reasons, and the parties...
Well, I think that's conceded, isn't it?
Right. The point I'm making is that the arbitrator and the district court equated continues with transfer, and it doesn't mean the same thing. Just yesterday, the United States...
All we know is that after the transfer, the non-union drivers were hauling, doing all the work. And before the transfer, the work was divided out between these two categories. But so we have to assume that some of the work that was being done after the transfer belonged to the union drivers before the transfer. And some of it belonged to the non-union drivers.
Well, no, Your Honor, there were more than that. There was these common carriers and owner-operators who were part of the mix.
I understand that, but you know, just focusing on these two things.
Well, it'd be a different case if you had just the two. You could then focus, but in this particular case, you have the common carriers and owner-operators, which comprise well over 80%.
You're assuming, aren't you, that the non-union operators are performing as much work as they did before the shutdown. They were performing it after the shutdown as they were performing before the shutdown, at least as much work.
Well, I don't...
If you're going to proceed on a cumulative basis, you have to make some kind of an assumption. And that's your analysis is cumulative, it seems to me.
Well, the cumulative evidence shows that the non-fund drivers after the shutdown perform less driving in the routes they shared with the fund drivers before the shutdown. That's an undisputed fact.
We understand that.
Yeah. So it's inconsistent.
So why is that relevant? What conclusion can you draw from that?
Well, I could draw it. It's relevant for two reasons. First, that's inconsistent with a transfer when the parties define the work in an aggregate cumulative sense, and the statute defers to the party's definition. Okay. Number two, it explains the error of law of the district court and the arbitrator very clearly. It explains why, since the work went down, they felt compelled to use the language of continuation of work instead of transfer. And I'll cite the court to the Bell Transit decision, the Cullen decision, and the Allied Products decision of this court, saying that in ERISA, you can't use the word like continues to mean transfer. That ERISA is the kind of statute, as are all statutes, where Congress used those words in different contexts, they mean different things. And, you know, just yesterday the Supreme Court, in the Miller case, of which we advised the court pursuant to Rule 28, held that you can't read into the ERISA statute business of insurance when the statute reads insurance. And that's our point. For all these reasons, Your Honor, and Your Honor...
I ask you, just before you sit down, what was the business reason to have the mix of employees, independent contractors, and third-party operators? Any reason, business reason for that?
Your Honor, I can't remember if there's a reason in the record, frankly, but the reason why most of the drivers, almost all the drivers, were not Nestle employees is because the core business of Nestle is not driving, it's food production. So Nestle really only has less than 20% of its drivers as its employees. And that explains that point. And I imagine that 20% may have been a holdover from an earlier day when core business may not have been such a big concern. The court should reverse. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Mr. Berliner.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Brad Berliner, here representing the Central States Pension Fund. Nestle argued this morning that we would have a very different case if indeed Nestle had defined the union driver's work, the pension fund covered driver's work, as one subsection, a certain number of lanes or particular lanes or certain customers, and if Nestle, on the other hand, had defined the work of its other employee drivers, the non-pension fund covered drivers, as some different lanes. And then when Nestle decided to close down the Economowoc and St. Joseph terminals, it indeed had terminated. It had no more work in the particular lanes designated to those pension fund covered drivers. That's simply not the case here, Your Honors. This is a case where, as we know, the work was commingled. And regardless of whether or not Nestle's the number of loads that Nestle drivers hauled went up or whether went down, one thing remained constant as the arbitrator held. And the arbitrator determined that the one constant was that the pension fund covered drivers historically carried loads in these lanes with regularity. Nestle would like to characterize the issue before this court today as an issue of law, the meaning of the word transfer. And I think it's important to point out that in its brief before this court, Nestle did not frame the issue as one of whether or not this was a what is the meaning of the word transfer. And I think that's very important because it's very clear, this case involved 3 days of fact testimony and with a number of witnesses testifying, and the analysis here is very fact intensive. Nestle would point out that Nestle would try to have this court believe that the issue is what is the meaning of the word transfer. However, in the arbitrator's opinion, the arbitrator specifically stated, I agree with Nestle on the meaning of the word transfer. Nestle says that the meaning of the word transfer is to convey something from point A to point B. And the arbitrator says, thus far, I agree. Central States also agrees with Nestle's position. The meaning of the word transfer is to take something from point A and move it to point B. So the question is, what has moved from point A to point B? And the arbitrator determined that as a matter of fact, what has moved from point A to point B is that certain percentage of the fund cover driver's work that they historically enjoyed, that amount of work that regardless of whether Nestle's total driving was going up or down, and regardless of whether the total volume of Nestle employee driver work was going up or down, regardless of those facts, regardless of that, the pension fund covered drivers historically participated with regularity.
So you do maintain then that this transfer is of a percentage?
The transfer is, I think, is the statute does not require that a determination be made as to exactly how much work was transferred. The statute doesn't say you need 5% or 10% or any particular amount. And as the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation has stated, the issue is whether any work was transferred. So even if a single load was transferred, that would be sufficient. However, what the arbitrator determined is that, as a matter of fact, based upon the random method of assignment, based upon the fact that the pension fund covered drivers historically participated in these lanes with regularity, you could make certain determinations after the closures of the terminal by looking at the level of participation of the pension fund covered drivers, the fact that the method of assigning work to pension fund covered drivers and non-pension fund covered drivers, that method of assignment did not change. Yet, as the arbitrator noted, the non-pension fund covered employee drivers drove in these over-the-road lanes with regularity after Nestle had terminated the pension fund covered drivers. Now, with respect to this termination, it's very clear what was happening, and the record is clear on this. Nestle witnesses testified, and there's documentary evidence, that what Nestle was doing was consolidating their operation. They wanted to bring into centralized locations their driving and dispatch functions. And what they did here is exactly that. They did not, and this is not a case, Nestle would like to have this court believe that the work of the pension fund covered drivers disappeared. And there is simply no evidence that that work disappeared in the record.
With the loss of that contract, I assume some of it did.
Certainly Nestle's total work volume declined. But there's a real tension, as the arbitrator noted, and as Judge Bucklow...
That means the marginal loads were being hauled. According to their theory, the marginal loads are being hauled by the union people. And so if you eliminate X loads, you eliminate the union people's loads first. That's correct?
Well...
Isn't that the essence of their argument?
Yes, Your Honor. After the fact, they're trying to say that the loads were all the union drivers' loads that disappeared. But here's the tension in that argument. And on one hand, Nestle is saying that prior to the termination of the collective bargaining agreement, you could not identify what work was pension fund covered work and what work was non-pension fund covered work. After the terminal closed, Nestle takes a step back and goes, oh, all of the pension fund covered work has now disappeared. Well, how can you say that? You couldn't identify the work prior to the terminal closures. How can you say all of that work was lost after the terminal closures? And if you look at the evidence in the record, it simply doesn't make sense. In other words, and as a hypothetical, if you had 1,100 loads in a particular lane for a particular quarter, and you lose half of those loads, but before you lose it, you're able to understand that the pension fund cover drivers drove half of those, hauled half of those loads before the terminal closures. If you lose 50% of the loads, how can you say all of those loads belong to the pension fund? What we've said is that we don't know if it's exactly, it should, in other words, the loss should have been across the board. And
well, there would be, if this, I don't know what the reduction amount was, they say that as far as the company drivers, it was reduced just by two or three, than that the union drivers, it was seven. But I guess that when we talk about this commingled volume, it seems to me we're still getting back to some kind of a unique theory of percentage as opposed to specific work, which I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but that seems to be what's unique to this case.
I would assert, Your Honors, actually, that Your Honors, this court does not need to address exactly how much work might have been lost or what percentage.
Then suppose there had been a reduction in amount of work, and so instead of seven, there are only four union drivers.
If there were four union drivers in this case, if Nestle had actually...
Three lost their jobs.
If Nestle had only terminated a few of the jobs, there would not have been a partial withdrawal.
Yeah. Well, you know, that would have saved them a lot of money if they'd done that, wouldn't it? About $1.3 million.
Right. In this
because that was what was curious. Here we're talking about seven drivers and this withdrawal liability is $1,300,000. And it occurred to me that if they had retained half the drivers, or let's just say four or three or something, and they continued to drive, there would not be a partial withdrawal, and there would have been no withdrawal liability.
Under the facts of under many potential factual scenarios, there are many scenarios under which Nestle might not have incurred withdrawal liability. In this particular case, however, the work that the pension fund cover drivers did prior to the terminal closures, that work has not disappeared. Yet they terminated the contracts, and since they terminated the contracts, on behalf of Nestle has not had any obligation to remit contributions to the pension fund on behalf of those drivers. Since 1995, that obligation ceased. And the purpose of the withdrawal liability is to make the fund whole. The fund whole in a case where Nestle terminates work, but is actually, as the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation has pointed out, with respect to this particular subsection of ERISA, the statute did not impose withdrawal liability merely for terminating the work. Withdrawal liability becomes applicable only when they've terminated the work and transferred it to the other location. Now, in this particular case, I'm not asking Central States is not asking the court to determine exactly how much work needed to be transferred. In this particular case, the arbitrator made certain factual findings. He determined, and Nestle witnesses conceded this, that the lanes were assigned on a random basis depending on factors such as the availability of a driver, where the particular load needed to be picked up, how many hours a driver had logged under Department of Transportation regulations. And the arbitrator determined that whether or not a driver hauled a particular load was based on these random factors. But the arbitrator noted that we, regardless of those, taking into account those factors and taking into account this random method of assigning work, and taking into account that regardless of whether the Nestle work, the number of loads being hauled in the Nestle system, regardless of whether it went up, regardless of whether the total work went down, in the pension fund covered drivers enjoyed a certain historical participation in those routes, and as a result, after the pension fund, after the arbitrator noted that after the closure, the Nestle employee drivers for whom contributions were not owed continued to drive with regularity in these lanes, the arbitrator found, as a matter of fact, that at least some of that work was transferred. Judge Bucklow agreed with that analysis and upheld the withdrawal liability assessment in this case. Now, Nestle points to the fact that that there was a decline in work, a decline in the total volume of work after the terminal closures. But again, that brings us back to that same issue, which that is one of identification, and it simply is a there's simply no evidence in the record to suggest that all of the work that was lost was work that belonged to the pension fund covered drivers. And really, it's again that
their argument is the first work to go belonged to the union drivers. That I gather is their argument. But whether that's a premise we ought to accept, I think is pretty arguable.
Well, there's certainly nothing in the statute.
I mean, they're making that assumption, I guess, on the theory that the only drivers continuing to drive are the non-union drivers. Therefore, the first work to go is that belonging to the union drivers.
Yes, Your Honor.
They're stating their position, I guess.
And I think that's essentially what their position comes down to. However, there's no evidence in the record to support that assertion. There's no indication in the statute that assumption must be made, and there's simply no indication. There's nothing in the record to support Nestle's assertion that when the volume of work decreased, all of that work was pension fund covered drivers. And I think it's important also to note that the record was very clear. Nestle, what was the work? The work was the pension fund covered drivers' ability to share in these over the road lanes, and in particular lanes after the terminal shutdown. The work of the Nestle employee drivers actually increased. Not only did the Nestle employee, in some lanes they had dramatic increases in the number of loads hauled, both in the number of loads hauled and the number of loads hauled by Nestle employee drivers. Now, if the number of loads are increasing in a particular lane, how can Nestle say, as a matter of fact, without any supporting evidence, that the pension fund covered drivers, even though they consistently drove in those lanes, as the arbitrator found, that their work disappeared.
So there is a dispute about whether there was a reduced volume there.
Right. There was over the total volume of work decreased, but focusing on the individual driving lanes, such as St. Joseph to DeKalb, Oconomowoc to DeKalb, there was evidence that there were actually increases in various lanes. And I think
those were lanes that were formerly, we'll say, shared or multiple participation.
Correct, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm. I have just a curious question, and that is if these seven union drivers went to work somewhere else, that they were also union covered and paying into the fund, is that a mitigating factor or does that matter? This is a sideshow, but I'm just curious. Would they still have to pay the $1.3 million if some other company's paying in?
Your Honor, to be honest, I'm not prepared to answer the question. I believe that.
I don't know either.
I'd like to also point out that this withdrawal liability was not a surprise to Nestle, and nor is the meaning of the word transfer.
I think the amount was a surprise, wasn't it?
The amount was a surprise. When they originally estimated the amount to be $300,000, they readily admitted, we transferred work, it went to DeKalb. That's the end of the story. And when they received the withdrawal liability assessment for $1.2 million, they all of a sudden began to backtrack. Wait a minute, that's transferred retained work. We really didn't transfer it. It all disappeared, and they began to disown all of the admissions that led up to the withdrawal liability assessment and the understanding that the work had indeed been transferred. And again, getting back to this issue of the meaning of transfer, the pension fund is not stating that transfers means continued. The pension fund is stating that, yes, when you take into account the random method of distribution, the fact that that random method of assigning work did not change, the fact that the pension fund covered drivers enjoyed this historic participation with regularity, regardless of whether or not the work was going up or down for Nestle, and taking into account the fact that Nestle drivers participated with regularity, non-pension fund covered Nestle drivers participated with regularity after the terminal closures. Yes, when you take all of those facts into consideration, under those particular facts, transfer and continue are really one and the same. With that, Your Honor, I ask that this court affirm the arbitrator's decision and Judge Bucklow's decision and affirm Central State's withdrawal liability assessment.
Fine, thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. McSherry? Or Cashieri, I'm sorry. What's the time? You've got 2 minutes.
Your Honor, let me make just a few points. First, the position of the fund is based on the proposition that a certain percentage of these lanes were owned by the Central States drivers. That is a proposition that has no support in the record. It's not how the parties defined the work in the collective bargaining agreement, and it is not a proper basis to make a decision under this assessment because the statute doesn't refer to anything other than what the parties called the work in the collective bargaining agreement, and it is driving. And in this network context, no one owned any percentage of any lane. Secondly, the work did not disappear. The fund ignores the fact that most of the network drivers were not Nestle employees. They were common carriers and owner-operators. There's a complete ignorance of that undisputed fact. And if the work went anywhere, that's where the work went. That's where the driving work went. Third, there is no basis to conclude.
The first work to go was the belonged to the union drivers. That's the essence of your theory, isn't it?
Well, with the lost contract, that's not the essence of the theory. Is that's true, Your Honor. The essence of the theory is that you cannot identify. It is impossible to identify in this record that any of the fund work went to the non-fund drivers.
Well, if you're going to say the first work to go belonged to them, isn't that identifying it in this context?
Well, I'm defining work in terms of the aggregate, and that work and the work went down.
Well, you think it all went to owner-operators?
I think if it went anywhere, it went to owner-operators or common carriers who comprised more than 80%, 90% of the network. And that's what Mr. Michaels, the general manager, testified to on cross-examination by the fund without contradiction.
Are you going to say anything about this TBCDC opinion letter, what, 83-20, which seems a little inconsistent with your position?
Your Honor, that opinion letter has nothing to do with this case. It concerns a completely different situation about an employer transferring work to other fund drivers. It actually has to do with Judge Mannion's decision, a question about what happens if contributions continue to be made for the drivers. It has nothing to do with this case.
We'll answer that question anyway.
But that would answer Judge Mannion's question.
Okay.
Your Honors, the court should reverse. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much. The case will be taken under advisement.